And thank you all for being here. Those of you that have braved some colder weather, a little rainy weather, that you're here safe and sound, and we thank God for that fact. TJ had called number 74 for the invitation song, Abide With Me. It's not a typical invitation song, and so that might clue you into the fact that we may be studying this very song tonight. Having talked about more recently the blessing of song and the great instruction we might receive from our songs, I thought this would be a good one to consider together tonight. Abide with me. All right, the Lord told us to teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Colossians 3, verse 16. And Paul would seek for us to have understanding in our prayers and in our songs. I'll pray with the Spirit, also pray with understanding, he said. I'll sing with the Spirit, also sing with the understanding. Have you ever thought that a song is a prayer just simply set to music? And that we're directing it to God like we do a prayer? And we would never want to pray to God things that we do not understand. And same with our songs as well. This song, Abide With Me, was written by Henry F. Light in 1847, the very year that he died. In fact, not very long before he died. And it was based off the text of Luke 24 and verse 29, which we'll look at in just a little bit. That text was in his mind as he began to think about this song. Henry lived on the coast of England, and towards the end of his life, he had contacted tuberculosis. And I've been exposed to such. I remember one time going into an emergency room and then getting the call back saying that there was someone that had TB and to get tested. And I did, and sure enough, I had been exposed and infected and took the medications and suffered no severe ill because it was caught soon enough. But left untreated, it can cause death. Well, this is what he had, and this was a time before such modern medication. The damp winters took a further toll on his lungs, so he would travel to Italy to leave the climate there for a warmer one, hoping that that might help his condition to improve. In France, he worked on this song and sent it to his wife, but he would never see her again. He would never leave France alive. And in a hotel in nice France, his lungs gave out. He died at the young age of 54. Only 3 weeks after he had completed this song. And when you study this song and all of its lyrics, you begin to realize that he most likely knew that he was near the end of his journey. And he may not ever make it back home again. And he thought about his Lord being with him while his wife could not be and his family could not be. And this song has been a comfort to many other individuals in their dark moments of life, reminding us that as long as he abides with us, then all is okay. Now, the song originally had 8 stanzas, and you'll notice in our hymn book there's only 3. So a number were actually cut out. We're actually going to look at a total of 5 tonight. And so when it comes time to sing the invitation song, when it gets to stanza 4 and 5, look up here on the slides so that you might have those words handy to be able to sing. Well, the song starts with the very title itself, Abide With Me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. So the very first stanza begins and ends with that same phrase, abide with me. It is the heart of the song. It is the reason for its creation. Lord, abide with me. Stay with me. It is the plea of every honest heart, especially when so alone, when those trials come or when death nears. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. Here's where it's good to study what we sing. Eventide is not a term that we use much today. It's the old English meaning evening. Fast falls the evening. So you can imagine Henry walking along the coast, seeing the evening sunset, and thinking about Luke 24:29. There in Luke 24:29, you have Jesus, after his resurrection, make an appearance to some disciples on the road to Emmaus. He stays with them, opens up their eyes of the scriptures that foretold of the coming of the Son of Man and his death, and also of his resurrection. And there the Bible says in Luke 24:28, when they drew near to the village they were going, he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us." There's the title of the song. For it is towards evening. Fast falls the evening, and the day is far spent. You know, this is one verse, I must admit, Luke 24:29. I probably haven't given much meditative deep thought about. Henry Light certainly did. And it's one reason why I love the Bible, because there are so many verses that if one takes the time to think more deeply about, more lessons will unravel and unwrap in one's mind and make them further appreciate God and the Word of God. These disciples had spent some of the day with the resurrected Lord. And they thought, what better way to spend more of the evening than to talk about spiritual things and to study spiritual matters? When we may find ourselves after a long day wanting to kick back and just turn on the tube or to do something else, here these disciples said, "Abide with us. Stay with us, Lord." Now Henry here is using this to speak more figuratively of the darkness and gloom of life, right? The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. And we have sought comforts for our sorrow in such time. That's almost human to do so. And we may turn to family or to preachers or to the other church members, and that's fine to do. In fact, the Word of God would have us to do that. But sometimes the hurt is so much that they cannot help. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. There are some things that only the Lord can offer comfort for. You know, David, when he found other comforts flee from him in 1 Samuel chapter 30, there was a time where he had even his mighty men, those that loved him, those that fought with him, side by side, but they were all overwhelmed and overcome by the great loss of their families to the invasion that had taken upon them by the Amalekites. And David, it says in 1 Samuel 30 verse 6, was greatly distressed. See, the darkness had deepened for David. "For the people had spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved. They were so sad and so discouraged that they were bitter towards David, and every man for his sons and his daughters." What did David do? Well, David had his comforts flee, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David turned to God for his source of strength. Oh, abide with me. In the New Testament, the Lord tells us that the Holy Spirit is such a comforter to us today. He offers us great comfort through His Word, and we are able to think deeply and drink deeply from the well of the Spirit as we read His revelation. In John chapter 14, there in verse 16, He says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you," how long? Forever. A Helper that will never leave our side, that'll abide with us as the Lord will abide with us. There in verse 26 of chapter 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Lord would not leave His apostles orphans. They would have further instruction, further guidance, further remembrance of all things. And He called this Holy Spirit, the Helper, would come to their side. In Romans chapter 15, Romans 15 there and verse 5. Here Paul says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. He invoked the God of patience and comfort to be with them and then to grant also that same patience and comfort towards one another. And one more reference, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, notice here verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. He is the God of all comfort. He seeks to comfort us so that we might be a better comfort to others as well. It's great to know that even when we're not getting it from anywhere else, Christ is there. God is there. The Spirit is there. They are the help of the helpless. And they will abide with me. The second stanza says, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changes not, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Again, Henry uses the image before him of the day closing, the evening sun setting, and he uses it to refer to the closing of life in essence. Life can be pictured as a day with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Where are we on our day of life? Is it in the beginning? Is it in the middle? Or are we now closer to the evening sun that is setting? And if that be the case, this song should resonate all the more with us. Indeed, as the days pass faster and faster and faster, they just seem to gather more and more steam, more and more speed, don't they? And I know some in the pews look at me and say, hey, buckle up, buddy. They're going to get faster still. I understand. That's the way it works. Because James 4 and verse 14 says that life is just like a vapor. It's here for a moment and then it vanishes away. Maybe you've seen the vapor come from a steaming pot and you can see it very close to the spout. It's very evident. There's the vapor. And you follow it up the channel. And before you know it, it disappears. Somewhere along the line, it vanishes away. Life is much like that. It just seems to go faster and faster. It's the mental perception of time. The more days that are logged into the brain, the faster they seem to pass versus a child that has lived very little days. You know, a child that's lived 6 years or 7 years, they think it takes forever for summertime to come. I can't wait for summer break, but it's going to be an eternity before summer comes and school is over. But not for us, because we can recall many summers in our minds. Now, 24 hours is the exact same scientifically, right, to a youth or to an aged person. 24 hours is 24 hours. But to the aged, it seems faster because of that mental perception of time, having experienced more 24 hours. The brain has so many more to refer back to. And so it just seems to pass so fast. As you mature, you begin to realize that everything else also decays and dies around you too. And not just people, but things. Like we say here, change and decay, and all around I see. Right? The couch is not so new anymore. We're in the process of getting newer couches, and the ones that are being replaced are torn and tattered and stained, and they didn't look like that, you know, before we had kids, but now, I mean, they are just change and decay. The car has more dings and dents and rust than it did at the beginning. Change and decay in all that I see. We see young people who at one time sat on our knees now graduate college. It wasn't too long ago I saw that, we call it a little famous picture here for the congregation, for those that have been here for some time, where you have little Andrea and Michaela and Morgan, and they're all in a little picture around Julie and I around this fireplace, and they're so tiny and little, and now they're so much more older. Everything changes except one thing, one being, and that is God. He was there before time began. In Malachi chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, and I want us to understand that He's also the same as when time began. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change, not one bit to the right or to the left." The same is true with Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Hebrews 13, 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Because He is the Lord who changes not. And that ought to bring us some joy and some comfort in a changing world, to know that there is one who does not change. And that is our God. And as this world spins and turns, He can stabilize us, as He is the one that we can lean upon and rest upon, be planted upon. He is the rock, the hope of our salvation. In Hebrews chapter 6 there, Hebrews 6, verse 17, the Hebrew writer even says, "This unchangeable nature of God gives us great comfort in the reward that lies ahead, because He cannot lie." Hebrews 6:17 says, "Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability," which means the unchangeableness of His counsel, He confirmed it by an oath. Notice how He said He wanted to show it more abundantly. Right? He didn't have to go into this detail or into such effort. His word is so, He changes not. But He confirms this by an oath. Verse 18, "that by two immutable things," that is unchangeable things, "in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us." This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, when she enters the presence behind the veil. So because of God's unchangeable nature, it gives us this anchor to the soul. We can firmly plant our faith upon and know it is not misplaced, that it's in the exact right place. O thou who changest not, abide with me. The third stanza says, "I need thy presence every passing hour. What by thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through clouds and sunshine, oh, abide with me." We need Him every passing hour. And as we mature, we know this to be more so and more so, don't we? every hour He's needed. We cannot do this alone. Every day reminds me how much more I need Him. And sometimes, I don't know if you can relate, but sometimes that makes up the majority of my prayer. Just nonstop. God, I need You. I need You so much. Lord, I need You. Every hour, I need You. Only He can give us the guidance that we need. Who like Thyself my guide and stay can be? He seeks to keep me from the evil path and to lead me in the way of truth and righteousness. And we must trust Him on that path that He has laid before us. Remember our great memory verse, Proverbs 3. Verse 5 and verse 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. The next verse, verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So He's asked us to follow Him, to trust His path and to depart the evil path. In chapter 4 and verse 14 of Proverbs, He even says it plainly, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. See, only He, my guide and stay, can be. Jeremiah 10 verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Have you been directing your own steps? Refusing the counsel of the will of the Lord? I know what God says, but have you been saying that? I know what is the wise and right thing to do, but have you chosen to be wise in your own eyes? Whatever aspect of life it may be. Say I've received instruction, maybe from parents that love me, about who it is that I'm dating or who I'm with. Or maybe other Christians that encourage me to walk away from this particular route of life, because they know the potential dangers that can befall me. Do I care about that instruction? Do I listen to it? Do I think deeply about it? And am I courageous enough to make the changes, knowing that they care for me and my soul? Knowing that they come from this standpoint, that God is seeking to be their guide and their stay. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Lord promises to abide with us as long as we abide with Him. He is on that straight and narrow path. He won't travel the broad path. Thus I must be given to this word, that I might ever know His way and His path. You know, Sundays and Wednesdays is not going to be enough, is it? Not especially if we're saying and praying in this song, I need Thy presence every passing hour. Right? It's not every Sunday and Wednesday. We need the Lord every passing hour. And then He'll be our comfort and our guide through the good and the bad, through the clouds and the sunshine. Then we'll have the comfort that He will abide with me. Now the fourth stanza, this one's not in our songbooks, but it was written by Henry Light. He says, I fear no foe with Thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Remember, he's 3 weeks from dying of tuberculosis. Coughing blood. They say it begins to cause lesions and organs in the body. It'd be painful. Ills have no weight, tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. He didn't have the modern aid and comfort to take some of the pain away that you and I are blessed with. But when he thinks about the Lord being with him through it, well, the weight of the sickness just fades away. I have no fear of the foe. Why? Because what's the worst that can happen? I die? Well, where is death's sting? Where, grave, is thy victory? Now, those of you that are familiar with Scripture know what he's doing here. He's quoting the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's why I wish the hymn didn't take out this particular stanza. This is straight from the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there in verse 50. He says, "Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Death is not a loss then for the Christian. It's rather a victory. They get that much closer to their final destination with the Lord. And so if I die, I triumph still. If thou abide with me. Paul told Agrippa in Acts 26 verse 8, why do you think it incredible that God raises the dead? And we might tell folks the same today in this very unbelieving society. God can do it. God has done it. And God will do it again. And because of that, the Christian wins, even in death. No need to fear death. He is a defeated foe. Death is swallowed up in the Christian's victory. See, Henry knows he's dying here. Time is running out. Many of us, most of us, don't think this way until life forces us to. But wouldn't you like this kind of confidence now? So we need to live like we're dying, right? Choose the good part of life that should not be taken away. Else, when life is taken away, well, then so too will our confidence be. If we don't choose that good part. You know, I've spent many hours, days, and times trying to encourage John Scarlett to obey the gospel. I don't bring it up every time. I don't try to be an individual that tries to just browbeat one. That would do no good. But I look for those occasions, those times. And God has been good to give him life. We pray he still will. But I tell John sometimes, wouldn't you want that comfort? Wouldn't you want that joy and that peace to know that your sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb and that God will abide with you? You know, hang his head and shake it sometimes. I love John. I love him very much. And we need to be praying for him and praying for Marcia. But this is the kind of confidence that Christians can have, that God wanted us to have. To fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Are we right with God so that we might say the same? Well, the last stanza that we'll study tonight says, "Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life and death, O Lord, abide with me." I'm sad that these two verses were not included in our book. I mean, it truly brings the journey of the song to its natural end. Henry's last days were used in thinking about the cross. Hold before my closing eyes, the eyes closing as death nears, the cross of Christ, that atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as Paul said that he makes his boast only in the cross of Christ. But in the cross of Christ, we think of his death, but also the hope of his resurrection, for we know that it was not the end. And in 1 Peter 3, verse 21, when we're baptized into Christ, baptism now saves us. It's not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we're buried in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, we're reminded as he gave us a new life here that he'll give us a new life there. And what does it do? He said it's the answer of a good conscience. It cleanses it. It gives us the confidence that we need. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks. That's a good thing to be thinking about when you're near the end of life's journey. To think you've lived and tried to prepare yourself as best you can for that spiritual realm with the Lord. You know, that's what Paul thought about in Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, there in verse 19, he says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit of my labor, yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." As he thought about at the end of his life, he desired to be with the Lord. Heaven's morning breaks, and it makes earth's vain shadow flee away. In life or in death, O Lord, abide with me. Interesting fact is at the time this song was first sung, it was at Henry's funeral. He never got to hear it in congregational song. Maybe he heard it in his ear of faith and of thought and reflection. But the song that has thrilled so many souls since then, that many of us enjoy so much today, we get to enjoy while he never got to hear it in his life. But we thank him for the lyrics. I want to end with this story, though, to kind of help tie all this together of the Lord abiding with me. Lately, my son Cody has been studying the Titanic for no earthly reason. Not for any school project. He just found it fascinating. And I've never met a 9-year-old that can recall so many random facts about the Titanic as Cody. It's quite impressive. I've learned a lot from him. I'm watching one documentary with Cody. This story came to the screen of Isidore and Ida Strauss, who perished on the Titanic, April 15th, 1912. Wife and husband. The wife was placed on the lifeboat. The husband refused to get in it, even though they had made way for him. He was a man of high standing, but he had a higher standing moral character. And he said, "As long as there are women and children on this boat, the Titanic, I will not get in the lifeboat." And when Ida heard him say this, she stepped out the lifeboat herself. And she gave her place to her young maid, along with her mink coat. And that's how this story was able to be passed on. As the young maid heard, Ida said, "As we have lived, and so too will we die together." Here's a fun fact. I'm not sure if Cody knew, but Isidore and Ida had the same birthday. And they would also have the same death day as well. It was a time where there was much sorrow and sadness. And I understand that the band upon the Titanic was playing the song, "Nearer My God to Thee." And as the boat sank, Isidore and Ida were last seen sitting side by side on deck chairs as the waters came and overtook them. She didn't want to be without him in life. She didn't want to be alone. "Abide with me." And so she did. Made me think, though, a Christian truly never is alone. God will be with us to the very, very end. Like a loving spouse, but even more so. I'm told in Isidore's tombstone is the scripture, "Many waters cannot quench love, nor can floods drown it." How much more so for the love of the Lord towards those who serve Him. In fact, He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews chapter 12. What a beautiful song. May we make it our aim to abide with Him so that He will abide with us. And if we want Him in death, friends, we must have Him in life. And to know that this is the kind of life that we get to live with Him. One that abides with us. Every stanza of the song, all 8 stanzas, say that. Abide with me. Let me tell you, there's nothing more precious in this life. No amount of silver, no amount of gold, no amount of mansions, no amount of cars is worth that in value. To have God abide with us. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, wouldn't you want that comfort? Wouldn't you want that joy? Sometimes when I do lessons like this, my children ask, "Dad, was Henry a Christian?" A lot of these songwriters were not New Testament Christians. We'll leave God to judge them. The question is always the same for us. What about us? Do we want God to abide with us? Where do we stand with God? And the Bible makes it clear, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." And to the baptized believer, the one baptized for scriptural reasons, He says, "To them I will never leave you nor forsake you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age." Do you have that comfort? And if as God's child you've lost that comfort, usually it's because of some sin in one's life. Are you willing to forsake it, repent it, of it, and serve Him once again to know that He'll abide with you even to the end? If we can assist, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changes not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can fool the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through clouds and sunshine, oh, abide with me. I fear no foe. Ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Hence morning breaks, and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.
Amen.
Thank you, Steve.